just finished our series on the Lord's Prayer, and now we continue to look at three principles of prayer. We'll look at three different principles of prayer as we try and carry out looking at prayer through this short little mini sermon series. Today will be, the text will be based on Luke 18, verses 1 to 8. Luke 18, verses 1 to 8. Before we read God's Word together, let us go to Him in prayer. O gracious Heavenly Father, we need Your help. We are often distracted by what the world has to say, but we need to sit quietly and listen to what You have to say in Your Word. Lord, we pray that You would help us. Give us Your Spirit to be able to hear what You have to say. Lord, we see open up Your powerful Word. Lord, let it cut to our heart. Lord, let it drive into our bones that we might be able to live and be a living sacrifice unto You. We thank You that You have not left us without help, but You've given us Your Word and Your Spirit to comfort us. And we pray that in Jesus' name, amen. Hear now the word of the Lord from Luke 18, verses 1 to 8. This is the word of the Lord. Please take heed how you hear. And He told them a parable to the effect that they ought always to pray and not lose heart. He said, in a certain city there was a judge who neither feared God nor respected man. And there was a widow in that city who kept coming to him and saying, give me justice against my adversary. For a while he refused, but afterward he said, though I neither fear God nor respect man, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will give her justice, so that she will not beat me down by her continual coming. And the Lord said, hear what the unrighteous judge says. That will not God give justice to His elect, who cry to Him day and night? Will He delay long over them? I tell you, He will give justice to them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will He find faith on earth? The grass withers and the flowers fade, but the word of our Lord will stand forever. Tommy and Gina have nothing but each other. This is their only hope. Tommy used to work on the docks, but is down on his luck, and Gina works at a diner. Only halfway there and living on a prayer, as the philosopher Bon Jovi said. Sadly, this is generally our theology of prayer. That this 1980s rock song accurately shows our theology of prayer. That we pray when we have nothing better to do. We pray when we want something. We pray when we find ourselves out of options. But this passage today, I hope, gives us a challenge to pray often, but also great comfort when we do pray. And some of us people right here today have had a difficult 2020. They've seen the loss of loved ones, or people go through health crisis. Seen the loss of jobs. We've seen some great pain, either emotionally or physically. And I believe many people here today are praying people. And I think this parable should bring us as praying people great comfort. Firstly, we need to ask the question, what is a parable? To confine ourselves in a narrow sense, a parable is just an illustrative story that can either be a sentence or two or a couple of paragraphs. And they can either make one point or many. But ultimately, it's a short story with a big point. And a parable is just really two stories said side by side. That's where we get the word parallel from. That they're comparing two different situations, two sons, a rich fool, the wise and foolish builder. And biblical parables mean more than just a nice story with where we learn morals from, but they shape our understanding of God and how we're to glorify God in everyday situations. The parable of the prodigal sons shows us something more important than just a gracious father who is loving and compassionate on his sons, but teaches us about a gracious and loving, compassionate father. So, biblical parables are short earthly stories which give a big theological point. And today we see a parable of an unjust judge or a persistent widow, that as many titles in your Bibles might put it. But this purpose of the short story, this purpose of this parable, is life-changing. Jesus teaches that these two characters give us a lot to think about, to worship, to consider as we step into life, as we walk our journey. In just 70 words in Greek or 81 words in English, this short parable gives us great insight about God and in our lives. And Jesus actually tells us what this parable is about. He says in verse 1, this parable teaches us that we should always pray and that we should not lose heart. And we'll be looking at those in two different perspectives with two different sub-points. Firstly, we'll look at that we should always pray. Many times, our theology doesn't necessarily line up with our practice. And I think this is most important when we come to the theology of prayer and the practice of prayer. This parable shows us the priority and the power of prayer. The widow had nothing. We don't know anything about this woman besides that she had some great injustice done to her, and her only hope was to come to this judge and beg for help. The Old Testament law had provisions which were actually made for widows and orphans. They should have been the most cared for people in society, but they were often ignored by selfish and sinful people, using their power to oppress them rather than to give them the correct justice which they needed. We know this parable, this particular widow had this great injustice done to her, that it could only be rectified through the civil magistrate. But we know one thing about this widow. She is persistent. She is persistent in coming to this judge and begging him. And this widow continually goes to him. Like I said, prayer is creaturely dependence, and this woman shows her dependence on the judge to come and rectify her issue. We don't get this idea or understanding of how long this issue was going on for this widow. Was it a couple of weeks? Was it a couple of months? Was it a couple of years? Was it her whole life? She kept on pestering this judge. We do not know, but we do know that this widow was persistent. But how often we think the reverse, that prayer is the last resort. Prayer is the bottom of the list. We go to God as a cosmic vending machine, that we might be able to go to Him when we want something. But this widow persistently bothers, it says in verse 5. And this word is used throughout in the Bible for toil and labor. This bothering is not just this short little thing. It means toil. In 1 Corinthians 15:58, it said, "Therefore, my beloved brothers, be steadfast and immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain." This labor is hard work. Revelation 2:2, "I know your works, your toil, and your patient endurance." And this is what this widow is doing, that she realizes this is our only hope. She labors and toils, persistently bothering this judge. And it carries a great weight. That we see prayer as a marathon, not a sprint. Again, it's a truth regularly forgotten and commonly neglected. That prayer is something that we see that takes a lot of time. And how often we think of prayer as a short, we pray and the answer comes instantly. And when it doesn't come, then we just ignore it. But prayer should continually. So when we go to God in prayer, do we persistently come before Him with our requests. Imagine if we were to persistently come before the Lord and the whole church together, unified, started persistently praying that the gospel would be proclaimed boldly in the community of Glade Spring, that the people's hearts would be changed, and we persistently cried out to God. I've used this illustration before. Spurgeon, the famous, the Prince of Preachers, and people come to tour the church, and he says to these young boys, he says, "Would you like to see where it all happens? Would you like to see the engine room?" They weren't necessarily excited about going to visit the engine room, the boiler. But he goes down and he opens the door, and there he sees hundreds of people praying. And often that's what we don't understand when it comes to prayer and persistent prayer carries great weight, and we should be passionate to be able to pray prayers multiple times. Paul says, pray continually. This is not to say that it's impossible height and then we should dismiss it. I mean, Jesus used the term to the elect to cry out day and night. And I think that's a great place to start when we rise and when we descend to the pillow. But it's not just those two times, in the day and in the night. This is a chiasm, two extremes that contain everything from top to bottom, A to Z, from front to back, cover to cover, hydrogen to Augusian. So I think a great challenge for us is, are we persistent in the way that we pray? And are we persistent in the things that we pray as well? I think we can explain this away. I think we're sometimes not persistent because we don't actually recognize the power of prayer. And I'm not then saying that if you pray 40 times, then your prayer will be answered. Or you need enough faith as terms of credits stored up in this imaginary chest that your prayer would then be effective. But this widow persistently pursued this unjust judge, desiring to see justice. And she only uttered six words, "Give me justice against my adversary." And we don't know any more than these six words. The widow in society didn't seem to have power over the judge to force her hand, to make him change his mind. The only things that she had was a constant pursuit that the judge, that she would finally receive her justice. This is why we believe in the ordinary means of grace, the preaching of the word, the sacraments of baptism and Lord's Supper and prayer, that these are just ordinary things that we do. The preaching of the word is nothing magical. I'm a sinful man standing behind a platform on a stick and proclaiming forth the powerful word. That's the thing that makes it the ordinary means of grace extraordinary, is the power that the Spirit applies through it. The sacraments, there's nothing magical about the bread, the wine, or the water. It's the Spirit working in them. And prayer is the same thing. That there's nothing magical about the words we say. It's the one whom we pray to. It's the one who answers our prayers. It's the Spirit working through our prayer. Edmund Clowney says that the Bible doesn't present an art of prayer, but it presents the God of prayer. It doesn't teach us how to pray and then everything is fixed. It teaches us who we're to pray to. If we come to prayer and prayer is a checklist of things for God to answer, we're always going to be disappointed. Because then we come to God as our small g God, asking Him to answer our prayers like He's a cosmic butler. The Westminster Shorter Catechism says, "What is prayer? Prayer is offering up our desires unto God for things agreeable to His will in the name of Christ, with confession of our sins and thankful acknowledgement of His mercies." We generally see prayer as a first clause is what shapes our prayer life. We have a prayer list. I mean, we've spent some time studying the Lord's Prayer in Matthew chapter 6, and I would encourage you to do that, to think and let that shape how you were to pray. But this parable comes with great pain and sorrow. This widow has been unjustly treated, and it seems that she still has adversity against her, that she still has this injustice happening. And this parable follows as Jesus answers the question, when will the kingdom of God come? He compares this time to the days of Noah, to the days of Lot. We might have nice images of Noah and the ark from our children's Bible story or Sunday school teacher. But these were dark times for humanity. Sin was rampant and injustice was in great multitudes. Then he tells this parable of prayer and persistence, that we should ought always to pray and not lose heart. In days and times of great sorrow and persecution, prayer is the only thing that gives us hope that God is sovereign. We pray to a God who can answer our prayers. We pray to a God who is sovereign and who is control. When injustice is upon us, we should pray. When persecution is upon us, we should pray. When troubled times and dark nights are upon us, we should pray. When there is a new day dawning and the sun is beckoning, we should pray. When our silos are full and our times are grand, we should be a praying people. When we are healthy or when we are sick, we should be a praying people. When life enters the world or life departs this world, we should be praying forever, and prayer should forever be upon our lips. That prayer is effective and prayer is powerful. We learn two things from this parable. Firstly, that we should ought always to pray. And this is a great challenge for us. But also, this parable gives us great comfort that we should not lose heart. This widow, through her persistence, tells us that we should always pray. But the judge is parallel to God. My favorite words in this parable are the beginning of verse 7, where it says, "And will not God." Often parables use a comparable comparison. Two builders, one wise and one fool. Four seeds, safe substance but landing on different soil. The Good Samaritan, where many passed him but did not treat him as a neighbor. However, some parables, there's an example where the conclusion is how much more. And this is the parable today. How much more will God give justice to his people compared to the judge who neither fears God nor man? He points to this unjust judge as a way to show the justice of God. The unjust judge does not give justice for a moral or right reason, but is out of being sick of being pestered, like a parent craving to a nagging toddler, maybe a sibling caving because they cannot handle their brother or sister right now. Maybe your parents ask you to do something and you do not do it, but you do it because you just want them to stop asking. And this is the unjust judge. He doesn't do it for good reasons or the right reasons. He does it because he is feeling uncomfortable. But how much more will our God give justice to his elect, to those who cry out to him day and night? And the parable points to God's promises, that he has promised that what he has said he will do. That we see the promise of persistent prayer, that we should not lose heart in our prayer because God is faithful to accomplish what he has said he would do. Again, we have correct understanding of prayer needs to shape how we actually pray. And I'm not praying name it and claim it. I'm not saying if you promise God, then you have everything you desire. The correct understanding of prayer is that God's will be done. Not my will be done, but your will to be done on earth as it is in heaven. And Jesus says he will give justice to them speedily in verse 8. And we should not lose heart because of this. Many great promises throughout the Bible rest on God carrying out what he has promised to do. We should not lose heart because this drive of perseverance and persistence You cannot be half persistent. You cannot say, I persevered, tapped away through the race. The drive that holds us together should never be us and our faithfulness in prayer, but our faithfulness, God's faithfulness to us. We should pray persistently and not lose heart, because our prayers are for God's center justice. Not prayers for vengeance upon someone who stole a parking space. Promises that are found in the Bible that He gives power to the faint, to him who might, he increases strength. If any of you lack wisdom, the Bible says, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach. Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am the Lord your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. For I, the Lord your God, hold your right hand, for it is I who say, fear not, I am the one who helps you. So if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. Call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised, and I am saved from my enemies. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. This should be our passion and drive when we pray the promises back to God. We should not lose heart because we're praying God's promises. We know His character, that He is not this unrighteous, unjust judge, but He is righteous, pure, and He is the loving judge. And we should not lose heart. We can be persistent because we have a faithful God who carries it to the end. And this is hard to hear. This is hard to practice. In a world that tells us prayer is ineffective. And some of you have cried out to God day and night, crying for justice, crying that He might answer your prayers. And you've thought about throwing in your towel. You feel like you're in. You feel like you are finished. And it's not this bumper sticker that then just fixes it. But keep on praying. Be persistent. Not because of you. Because we pray in our weakness. But we pray to a God who is strong. Pray. And often my recommendation is to pray. And pray through the Bible. Pray through the Psalms. Often when I pray, I come to God with a list of my concerns and my issues. That's a long list. But when I open the Bible and I pray the Psalms, it puts it in perspective, and I start to pray more biblical sense of prayer, where I focus on God and His strength and His might. And I do lift up my petitions to the Lord, but the Psalms help me guide. And even the promise of prayer that comes in verse 8, that I tell you, He will give justice to them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will He find faith on earth? He goes from temporary justice to eternal justice. That the Son of Man comes again. And this gives us great peace. Very rarely will we see true justice on this side of heaven. We might see some form of justice. We might not. Many times we see the brokenness of this world, the pain and the problems that are to come. But an insurance payout does not fully compensate. After someone who has been murdered, that cannot be undone. Justice in that situation can never be paid back. The life can never come or return. But we do have hope and a peace to the fact that although we do not see justice here and now, that Christ will come back. And He will rightly judge. He will give justice fairly for what it deserves. The there will be no need for this parable on the other side of heaven, because we will have just justice. We will have true justice. However, until that day comes, we do have peace in this promise. The Heidelberg Catechism, one of my most favorite statements that they have is in, "What is your only comfort in life and death? That I am not my own, that I've been bought body and soul and purchased by the Lord Jesus Christ." This is our comfort. Or in Philippians 4, 6 and 7, "Do not be anxious about everything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." And Jesus told this parable that we might always pray and not lose heart. And we should be challenged, that prayer should be on high priority, that often we have a small view of prayer. But also, we should not lose heart. That God is a faithful God whose steadfast love is ever laced throughout the words of Scripture. That we should be comforted that the world, that we see it, is not our only hope. When we face the difficult pains of tomorrow, we can have peace knowing that we are not on our own, and that we will see justice, and it will happen speedily. Let us go to the Lord in prayer. O gracious Heavenly Father, we thank You that You have given us this parable to instruct us and guide us in such a simple manner, but such a meaningful way. Lord, we pray for those in our congregation who have spent their night in tears, day and night calling for justice to occur. And we pray that You would fulfill Your promise and bring it to them speedily, but also give us comfort in our prayer, that we would be passionate about prayer, we would be persistent in prayer, but we would long for that day where You do descend from the clouds, where we will be reunited with You. Lord, that we would finally see a just judge sitting on a throne. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.